Boeing's 747-8 freighter makes its first flight. Endeavour heads to orbit in the shuttle program's last nighttime launch. And the C5M Super Galaxy is declared fit for duty. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 9, 2010. Boeing's first flight of the Dreamliner made headlines in general media back in December. Yesterday's first flight of the 747-8 freighter will probably be relegated to the business page of your newspaper if it's covered at all. But for those of us who follow this stuff closely, it's always exciting to see a new type take to the air. And to hear those quiet new GE engines, Boeing had a live video feed on its website, as it did for the Dreamliner's maiden flight. This test flight was delayed by poor visibility, but the crud around Payne Field in Everett burned off by noon, and about 5,000 Boeing employees, customers, suppliers, and community leaders watched the takeoff at 12:39 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, the Chase looks like it's positioned well. There's rotation, and they're in the air.
All aboard. 747 program chief pilot Captain Mark Feierstein and right-seater Captain Tom Imrich, senior test pilot for the 747 program, took the new bird to 17,000 feet and 230 knots and tested basic handling qualities and engine performance. After a greased landing, Feierstein reported the pilots were able to accomplish everything on the flight plan and every test condition went well. The 747-8 may be playing bridesmaid to the Dreamliner in the press right now, but Boeing insists the long-haul freighter and the passenger variant to follow in about a year will play important roles in the future of the company. Endeavour made what is expected to be NASA's last nighttime shuttle launch from Kennedy Space Center in Florida yesterday morning, right on time in its rescheduled window at 4:14 a.m. Eastern. The original Sunday launch was scrubbed for weather. Endeavour's STS-130 mission will include three spacewalks and the delivery of the Tranquility Node, the final major U.S. portion of the station. Tranquility will provide additional room for crew members and many of the space station's life support and environmental control systems. The first landing window for Endeavour and her crew is February 20th at about 10 p.m. Eastern. There are only four more shuttle flights on the manifest before the historic birds are shipped off to museums. Continuing with our theme of the aviation circle of life, the Lockheed Martin C-5M Super Galaxy has been cleared for active duty. The C-5 Galaxy military transport has been around since the 1960s, but as is the case with other military aircraft, notably the B-52, the airframes were designed and built to outlive the obsolescence of the aircraft systems, so the C-5M, as in modern, and now known as Super Galaxy, has received a makeover with updated engines and glass panel avionics. The benefits include faster climb, higher cruise, reduced fuel consumption and carbon emissions, increased strategic range, and less dependence on in-flight refueling. A prototype claimed 41 new records for time to climb in multiple payload classes back in September. Master Sergeant Brandon Trollander, a C-5 evaluator flight engineer for Air Mobility Command, commented, quote, "With the completion of operational test and evaluation, the 436th and 512th airlift wings are now in complete ownership of their three C-5M aircraft. The improved performance characteristics will effectively boost AMC's capabilities without increasing the airlift fleet size," unquote. Testing involved over 1,300 flying hours between October 1st and the end of January. Up next on ANN, In Situ reports success using electronic fuel injection with heavy fuels in a UAV. Biofuels could save airlines billions in carbon taxes. And Spain buys 12 new Eurocopters. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 9th. I'm Paul Plack. In-situ says it has successfully flight tested an EFI HFE, or electronic fuel injection heavy fuel engine, on its integrator unmanned aircraft. This technology is being incorporated into In-situ's entire family of unmanned systems, and the company says it achieves a key objective of the U.S. Navy. Bill Clark, VP of Emerging Programs, explains the benefits. Quote, heavy fuel with electronic fuel injection provides a 40% improvement in mission endurance over the previously demonstrated capability. It represents the next generation of our HFE technology, providing a more reliable, safer, and easier to operate and maintain engine, and positions us well for our initial deployments later this year, unquote. Based on In-situ's earlier Scan Eagle heavy fuel UAV, the integrator model inherits over 3,800 hours of flight testing, including demonstrating system safety and logistics goals for placement on Navy vessels. The company stresses the craft's role as a communications relay platform and its ability to operate independent of runways. The carbon emissions fees scheduled to take effect against all airline flights serving Europe in 2012 may be lighting a fire under biofuels development. EQ2, which describes itself as a sustainability economics company, is out with a report which finds that a shift to replace 30% of airline fossil fuels with self-offsetting biofuels by the year 2030 would reduce net annual carbon emissions by up to 420 million tons, saving the airlines and their customers $5.84 billion. EQ2 CEO Steve Burt contends, quote, the aviation industry must embrace the new realities surrounding climate change. Our report demonstrates the clear benefits of adaptation, with renewable fuel being the current best option the industry has against future economic and regulatory pressures, unquote. Eurocopter, an EADS division, says it has a contract to deliver 12 EC-135 helicopters to Spain's Ministry of the Interior, six of them for the National Police Force, and the other six to be used by the Spanish Civil Guard. One of the Guard helicopters will be set up for mountain rescue missions. Juan Carlos Martinez Saiz, CEO of Eurocopter in Spain, says the deal, quote, proves once again that we made the right decision to set up new industrial activities in Albacete, unquote. The Spanish assembly plant is one of two for Eurocopter. The other is in Germany. The company also reports the sale of an EC-135 to Thailand's Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment. The sale follows the establishment of Eurocopter's first branch office in Thailand back in December. Embraer has named Clay Lacy Aviation at Van Nuys Airport the company's authorized service center for the Phenom 100 and 300 jets in Southern California. A total of 64 Phenom jets are currently registered with the FAA. The entry-level Phenom 100 has been operating in North America since December of 2008. The 300, which was certified just this past December, is also flying in the region. Still ahead, Embry-Riddle students can now use VA benefits for helicopter instruction. A UK firm pleads guilty to bringing a 747 into Iran. And if people can still stow away in wheel wells, they could also put bombs there. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 9th. I'm Paul Platt. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is set to offer helicopter flight training to students at its campus in Prescott, Arizona. The university has contracted with Universal Helicopters, UHI, as its exclusive provider, announcing that the ERAU flight line will now be closely aligned with UHI's Center of Excellence at Prescott's Love Field Airport. ERAU says the contract with UHI simplifies the path for Veterans Administration benefit recipients seeking helicopter flight training to attend Embry-Riddle and take that training at Universal Helicopters in Robinson R-22s and R-44s and the Sikorsky 300C. The university also touts the year-round VFR and naturally occurring high and hot training environment, which would cost extra in many other programs. Bally Aviation Limited, based in the UK, has pleaded guilty to 2 counts of criminal information in connection with its illegal export of a 747 from the U.S. to Iran. Under terms of the plea deal, Bally agreed to a $2 million fine and 5 years of probation. That fine, combined with a related $15 million civil settlement, represents one of the largest fines for violations of export laws in the history of the U.S. Department of Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security. BIS has agreed to waive $2 million of the fines if Bally has no further export control violations. According to court documents, Bally used its subsidiaries, the Blue Sky Companies, to gain financing from Iran to purchase and export 3 747s. The jets were used for flights in and out of Iran. The deal was a major violation of U.S. export laws based on trade sanctions for Iran. The case also alleged that Bally continued to conduct negotiations concerning buying, receiving, using, selling, and delivering U.S. origin aircraft after being given a temporary denial order. And finally today, what's the point of full body scans if we can't keep people from walking out on the tarmac and stowing away? Delta Airlines officials say they're cooperating with Japanese law enforcement in an investigation of an unidentified black male found dead Sunday in the left main gear bay of a Boeing 777 after a flight from JFK to Tokyo Narita Airport. The body was found during post-flight inspection after the 193 passengers and crew had left the plane. The examiner is reporting that the man had no identification and also had no obvious injuries, making death by asphyxiation and hypothermia most likely. The flight duration was more than 10 hours. Japanese police were notified over an hour after the flight landed. Douglas Laird, a consultant based in Reno, has a flair for the obvious. Quote, if a person can gain access to get in the wheel well, a person can gain access to plant a device on the airplane, unquote. Could I please have my shampoo back now? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Max Trescott talks about new LSAs he flew at Sebring and his freshly minted seaplane certificate. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.